Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up to Spirit. My name is Celeste Elliott, and I am your host, as always, here every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. And I have with me today two very special co-hosts, the original co-host, my coffee, because I'm cheesy that way, and and special co-host, a very good friend, and I'm going to let her kind of introduce herself, Stacy Kupchinski from West Dallas, Wisconsin. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I just want to say good morning, and I like cheesy. That's my favorite thing, is obviously from Wisconsin, we love anything cheesy. So I like your, I like our other co-hosts this morning too. So I actually found spiritualism and became a spiritualist through Lilydale, believe it or not. Drove all the way there to find out about this great, fantastic lifestyle. And I am ordained minister in the religion, and I actually am the administrative assistant for the Morris Pratt Institute, which is teaches courses about spiritualism, and just a spiritual being on a human experience journey of having a good time.
Fabulous. That I have to say, that is possibly the best paraphrase of Teilhard's statement that I have ever heard, and I truly, truly, truly adore it. So, if you hear me clicking away, and I do apologize for that, I had a little technical glitch in trying to get us live on Facebook this morning, which is now solidly happening. So, for those of you who follow the show on Facebook, you can pick that up off the Lilydale Assembly page, or you can pick that up off of my page, which is Celeste Elliott. So I try to kind of monitor questions and things so I can help, but all good. So Stacy, you said that you found the religion and philosophy of spiritualism through Lilydale, but a lot of people have no idea what Lilydale is, because I'm in my little bubble, you know. So how did you actually find Lily?
Well, fun story. So my parents, when I was 11, bought a restaurant here in Wisconsin that is one of the most haunted buildings of Wisconsin. And so it was kind of fun to, you know, read about, you know, we're in some books and stuff, and people were always calling to do paranormal investigations. And I kind of started doing that. I finally convinced my parents, like, we need to do this. Like, we need to figure this out. We need to know what this is. Nice. And to do that. And so it was pretty much known that I was very open to anything about proving the continuity of life, right? Just knowing that we continue on, that, you know, what it looks like, what it is, who knows, but I know it's got to be real. And so one of my good friends, who is also a customer, kind of came in one night, and she's like, you know, I've heard of this community of people who communicate with loved ones who crossed over. Have you heard of anything? Like, have you heard of a medium and mediumship? And I'm like, well, not really. And so that led us into this huge discussion. And so, you know, we Google search, thank goodness for technology or whatever it was, and we find Lilydale, the biggest spiritualist community. And we're like, and so hook, line, and sinker, right?
We get
in the car. We drive, it was not too bad of a drive, you know, but we drive all the way to Lilydale. And then I think I was more enamored, not by the mediumship per se, the actual proving of the continuity. I was more enamored by what that does to a person.
Interesting.
When you learn that life is continuous, when you learn that your loved one is literally just here waiting for you and close to you and with you, what that does within you, like how that changed. So watching these people get these messages from their loved ones and then watching the reaction to that, you know, there was that lighter step as they got their message. There was this energy of peace that came over them, you know, it was enamoring. Like, so then I just full-fledged dived in. I'm like, I need to find a place. And I came all the way back home to realize there's one right here in my backyard.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, I was being from Ohio, which, as Chrissy Teigen has recently stated on Twitter, 95% of the world's population is originally from Ohio, and I am convinced of this. there's way more Ohioans outside of Ohio. And so I always heard about Lilydale because it was only a couple hours from where I grew up. And so I didn't know outside of my little area and, you know, Lilydale itself, that there was a lot of spiritualism elsewhere. You know, I'd hear the people that were in their 80s, 70s and 80s when I was in my teens saying, oh yeah, you know, spiritualism used to be massive and it was this worldwide experience. And at a few points, it was the largest religion listed for people on the U.S. Census. And then it sort of, you know, kind of went a little bit to the side. And so we have to so people will ask me all the time once they do figure out what spiritualism is, where do I find spiritualism where I live?
Right.
And I think, you know, the pandemic has made it more accessible in a lot of ways. So I have noticed your church is doing services online. So tell us about that.
Oh, sure. So I'm the president of our church, and we have quite an extensive team. We have Debbie Mallison, who's our pastor, and then Siobhan. I saw her on the show not too long ago. She's fantastic, right? So we're like this pod, this little group of us, and we each bring something different to the table for our church. And it is really trying to form a community, you know, and to cast that net. So we're actually in person and online, because that's what's going to be interesting about this pandemic, right? Is that it really forces us to look into natural and spiritual laws and try to live in this space. But we do things online, like Debbie runs a coffee and conversation, you know, once a week, and we always record and put our services online so people can, you know, view them on Facebook. And I find it fascinating in general when you were saying, you know, I feel like spiritualism has finally, this pandemic, if anything, has brought spiritualism to cast its net wider.
Yeah.
Not just to the little pond in your backyard, but to the entire world. And I am a church junkie in a little bit of a way. Like on Sundays, I'll probably go to 3 or 4 services, you know, maybe 10 one on Saturday. But I love going to all of these different services and seeing the little bit of the individuality, yet the big, you know, the big picture of bringing us all together for, you know, spirit and, you know, each other. And it's fascinating. It's just fascinating. I can't wait. I'm so excited to see where it's going to be. I'm hoping that we're back up on the census again in just a few years, right?
A little higher is good. Yeah, absolutely.
So we're enjoying it. You know, we're just going with the flow. That's what we have to do in this type of, you know, world that we're in right now. We just kind of go with the flow and and do what we can to try to get the word out as much as possible. And, you know, I always loved the saying, I don't know, I'm sure you've probably heard this millions of times, that spiritualism is not a religion of conversion, but conviction.
Exactly.
And, yeah, so it's not like we're, you know, don't worry if you want to just pop in on a service and see what it's like. We're not going to, you know.
You're not getting flyers in the mail. We're not following you. We're not sending people in suits to your door. No, that's not a thing.
We're just there. If you want to join, we're happy.
Come visit. Absolutely. It's all good. So I love that you were attracted. A lot of people will say to me, I was attracted to spiritualism by the phenomena of mediumship, which is a totally different answer than the message of mediumship and how that shifts things for people. I thought that was brilliant, by the way.
Well, I'm just an overthinker in general, so it works perfectly for me to just fall in love with, I mean, the phenomena is great. You know, what the Fox sisters did and what mediums do every day to prove that continuity is fabulous.
Right.
But that's just like the key that opens the door.
Exactly.
What's on the other side of that door is this philosophy, is this lifestyle, is this, you know, like I said, natural spiritual laws, this way of living, this way of being.
When you are no longer carrying fear in your core, it shifts everything for the positive. And knowing when you are in grief that your people are okay, it certainly doesn't erase the grief, but it does make it a little easier to bear.
I feel like the grief never really goes away. It just changes forms. Just, you know, just like we do. We never go away. We just change forms. And I think that it brings a more of a peaceful vibration or, you know, a comfort vibration to you to know that your loved one literally is right there. Like just right there.
It's so funny because I always think of you as like my philosophy friend. I have philosophy friends that, you know, I'll just, and anybody who knows me, like if I feel like I'll just randomly text people and I'll be like, so I got this little download today and I was thinking about this part of natural law. And what are your thoughts on that? And it's like, where did that come from? And then I'm like, oh, and by the way, hello, and how are you? And I'm one of those middle of the conversation people. I never start at the beginning. So,
and I'm so bad that we could be in a conversation all of a sudden. I'm like, and by the way, have you ever heard of thermodynamics? Like, where did that come from? I'm the same way.
Which is why we get along, you know. So I met you actually at the outdoor services here in Lilydale because I was chairing and you were visiting and I made you get up. I made her. She was totally willing, guys. And so we sort of, you know, but we didn't really like hang out or talk or anything until we had kind of friends in common. Right. So, I got to go out and visit you last year. So that was fun. She calls me up and she's like, do you want to come? Any chance you want to come out to Wisconsin and do something at my church? And I was like, I'll do it for the cheese curds. I'm in.
We did cheese curds too. We did.
Definitely did. Yes. I told her it was contractual. What's it going without the cheese curds? For those of you at home, cause I have all my silliness going today. If you have questions and you want to write in, please feel free to do so, and we will get to you because we actually talk because I had briefly mentioned before I got wildly off topic that Stacy is one of my philosophy friends. And I very much say that because when you got into spiritualism, you went deep into the philosophy and learning about natural and spiritual law, which is, you know, kind of the cornerstone. So can you sort of from your perspective tell us what is natural law for people who have no idea what I'm talking about?
Exactly. Well, it's called, and it, you know, it, more than likely you've heard of some natural law or unnatural law or the term natural law in some easy capacity. So the easy aspect, right, on the easy scale of natural law, it's they're just simple statements of how the universe works and everything in that universe. So it's just simply put, like, simple statements for every action. There's a reaction, you know, the kind of simplicity of certain things. Mm-hmm. These natural and spiritual laws, they're for everyone. They're not like, no, not just those people or not just that group get natural and spiritual laws. It's literally the entire universe and everything in that universe, including the spirit world, right? Including every part. Is there like little, and they're also known as God's laws. So certain religions will call them God's laws, universal laws. I've heard them stated. Natural and spiritual laws is what spiritualism pretty much calls them. But they're, I think that they're the cliff note versions of how to live this life, or the cheat sheet to have a healthy and happy, purposeful life. And that's the simple form.
And vaguely different. Than commandments, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. The part that I love about natural and spiritual law, and this is where we start to slide into the more, how much do you, I always laughed because when you learn about spiritualism and natural law, they keep it simple. I always say it's the KISS method, it simple spiritualist.
Perfect.
It's just a simple statement, right? Mm-hmm. Learn and grow and live in natural and, you know, in accordance with natural and spiritual laws gives you the best development or the best experience of this life, let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always a but, right, though? But for me, right, being your philosophy friend in my mind and my thinking, I take it into really deep thought. Of our conscious level, our subconscious level, you know, our spiritual self, our human self, and there's a lot of laws. There's not just simply one law. Now, there's many laws, and they're based, you know, it's kind of science. You can base some of these on science because they talk about energy. It's basically how energy works. You know, the law of attraction, that's always the one that everybody knows about, you know. Oh, well, the book, The Secret, you know, Seth's talk starts to talk about it. Abraham, Esther, who, you know, channeled the collective consciousness, huge, you know, law of attraction. But what's so funny about people, well, and when I say funny, I'm not making fun of people. I'm making fun of myself because I've experienced this. So I read the book, you know, Law of Attraction, Get What You Want. And I read it, and then I think, okay, I'm going to get that purple house. Yep, I'm going to get that purple house. Yep, I'm like, why didn't that happen? I didn't get that purple house. Well, there's all these other laws that play into it. You know, the law of divine timing.
Yeah.
The law of thought. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're thinking I'm going to get that purple house, but... And you put bus behind it, but I can't afford it. But it's too far away. But it's too this, but it's too that. You know? So I just thrive on natural law. It's so much fun. Like, obviously, I can have a discussion. We could talk probably for the next 24 hours straight marathon of natural law. But it helps me live. It helps me, you know, I think when you watch people who can kind of have those moments of understanding the natural law.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I get it. It changes the way you live.
Right.
Like it changes the way, and then it reminds us. The other thing I like about natural law, and some people, you know, this is a hard kind of subject to move into, is natural law doesn't play favorites. It doesn't play with emotion.
Yeah.
It strictly deals with energy.
Yeah.
So it doesn't care if I wanted that cookie and I can't have that cookie.
That's the best example ever. not that
you know,
I deny myself cookies very often, but I'm just saying, yeah.
But it helps me laugh at myself.
Mm-hmm.
It helps me, you know, embrace my flaws, my, you know, what people might consider, you know, abnormal behavior, or, you know, my quirky, you know, quirkiness or whatever. It helps me, you know, understand other people,
right.
You know, because we all have those people in our lives, God love them, that get under our skin.
Right.
Right. Especially in the holiday season, we're moving into all kinds of erratic energy, you know, and knowing some of these natural laws can be like, yep, that's your vibration, but I don't have to become part of that.
Oh.
I don't have to be part of that drama.
Which takes us to the law of karma.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, see, I like how this is going. Okay. Very, very nice little segue there. And so we wanted to talk about sort of the giver and the gift and staying in balance during the holiday season. Because that's something that's really, really hard on people. And, you know, I mean, sometimes your spouse is going to squeeze the toothpaste the wrong way and it's going to hit you wrong. Sometimes your kids, if they're little, they're going to, you know, have a meltdown when you have 1,000 things to do. And, so, you know, there's all kinds of, there's an energy balance there of trying to take care of yourself, of trying to take care of everybody. And I think, as women especially, we're sort of trained that we are supposed to be super person, doing everything and balancing everything. And if it's not perfect, there's something wrong with us and we failed, which is, you know, that's a lot.
Go
ahead.
Your point. So the law of balance is the one law that just knocks me on my tush every single time, I tell you, right? Because that is probably one of the most difficult laws to get. But, you know, that's the thing, like what you're saying exactly, of this pressure, of this need, you know, not just in the season, but we're going to talk about the season.
Right.
But in life in general, like in the totality of our existence, we tend to especially when you come into a spiritual understanding, when you have a spiritual awakening, whatever that is, right? Yeah. And whatever that looks like to you, you realize, and, you know, religion starts programming us as a small child, you know, humanity, the more we give to others, the more we, you know, give of ourselves, the better person that we are,
right.
The better being that we become, you know, we're here to be of service. And I truly, truly, wholeheartedly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
However, with the law of giving, you have to be able to receive too,
mm-hmm.
right? Or otherwise we're completely off balance, and balance is what we're aiming for. We're hoping to give you some tips so that way you feel good on a few different things. But it's hard. I mean, the holidays can be hard for people, you know, for so many different reasons,
mm-hmm.
you know, and again, going back to that natural spiritual law, it's little cheat sheets on how to help and get through those moments, you know, and sometimes you have to do them repeatedly because that's what I have to do sometimes.
Hey, you know, all we have is eternity. We don't think in those terms because we're stuck in a body right now, which is can be a very enjoyable thing, because I couldn't have cheese curds or coffee, God forbid, if I didn't have that, right? So, you know, we need to, ours is not a philosophy of delayed gratification and your real life is when you no longer have a body. Enjoy the earthly stuff while you're here, because you can and you should. And also you can do good, and also you can advance your understanding of things and help each other out.
Absolutely.
Which is a great thing, you know. So sometimes, you know, that concept of give till it hurts or sacrifice until there's nothing left, you know, that martyr syndrome. That goes very much against that idea of natural law.
So. Well, and here's the thing. I can prove it to you in one simple statement. Ooh. That you, each and every one of you, everyone who's out there listening, you know, me, you, Celeste, you know, maybe your coffee mug, I don't know, it seems pretty happy. Our co-host seems really happy, but we are born natural givers and receivers.
Absolutely.
And how that is I can tell you, the minute you took your first breath, you became a receiver. And the minute you took your first exhale, you became a giver. Okay. And if you really want to see the true balance, try not to breathe in or out. No, don't do that, really. There's the PSA, public spiritualist announcement. Do not try this at home.
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect.
But really, think about it. You are a natural giver and receiver, living in balance every day you get up through your breath.
Yeah.
Simply because we breathe. And think about how much, I don't know about you, I don't think about how much I breathe in one given day. I kind of take it for granted a little bit now, right? But is it taking it for granted? Or am I just in a state of balance that I don't have to think about it?
Exactly. Because the only time you have to think about something like that is when something needs retrained, you know, because if you are one of those people who has to occasionally think to yourself, when was the last time I've taken a breath? You are not grounded and rooted in your body. And that is something that you have to take the time to do. You know, there's sleep apnea, and then there's just apnea.
Yeah.
And if you have just apnea, when you're living and you're walking around and you're like, oh, I need to breathe, not because of a panic situation, although breathe then too.
Absolutely.
Then, yeah, you're right. You're out of balance somehow.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your brain is supposed to regulate those things.
Yeah. It's the perfect example. It's really, mm-hmm. like I said, this is not easy. You don't learn this in 1 week and master it. I don't even think we master it in this life, really, you know, but we try to get as close to the understanding as possible. We try to get as close to balance on any given day that we can. Mm-hmm. And trying is succeeding, right? Not trying would be the opposite of that, right?
Yes.
So I think that, you know, it's so hard as givers, which we are, right? We're natural givers. So let's talk about the giving aspect in the holiday season.
Yes.
We tend to get too tied up in the physical giving of either our physical time, because that's a physical act, right? Our time, our gifts. I don't know how many people are chasing around trying to find that perfect gift, or, you know, what does that person want? And, you know, we get wrapped up in that physical idea of giving. And I'm not saying you shouldn't give, because that's part of the service, mm-hmm. And that's a very important part of our lives. But if you are giving so much that you become doing, that's where we're going to be off balance. We're spiritual beings. We're human beings. We're not human doings or spiritual doings. you know? So we have to, you know, if you feel like you're just doing, then you need to check yourself, right? But I want to say a cheesy rap song. I really do. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. I can't remember what that was, but I think you probably grew up with that.
Yeah. That's everybody of our generation knows that one. Whether they know where it comes from or not, doesn't matter. So yeah, exactly. So, you know, the energy with that, do you think sometimes it comes down to people feeling that they have to give so much because they don't feel they are enough?
Yeah. You know, because we're so not open to receiving. And I don't know, that could be for a million reasons. It could be our childhood, how we were raised, if we were bullied in school, if we were, you know, if we just never felt like we fit in, right? We just feel like we never were accepted somewhere because of something. Or maybe we said something and somebody belittled us because we said it. Like, that's not right. And that kind of put up this huge barrier of allowing us to receive. And, you know, one of the, I think, simplest ways to learn to become a receiver is, one, remember that you are already a natural receiver. Every time you take a breath, you receive, right? So just that saying opens the awareness. And I think awareness is the gateway to understanding, right?
100%.
But then what about compliments? I don't know about you, Celeste, but how many times have I, oh my gosh, Celeste, you look so great today. And you're like, oh, this mop, you know, like, oh, you know, you know, I'm like, oh, that was so inspirational. Oh yeah, that was really nothing, you know.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, well, we are trained in our society that, and I'm not sure about other cultures, but I know within ours, sometimes if you say to somebody, oh, you look really great today, and they're like, I know. It's like, okay.
yeah.
And particularly, yeah. I think this is the second time I've said this today, and I don't mean it to be completely female-centered, you know, but we are trained to be modest, right? Mm-hmm. This idea of, because, you know, if a guy gives us a compliment and we're like, oh, thank you, they're like, oh, she's really full of herself.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and that's what we have. I mean, brings in a whole nother, but that's true. I mean, right. It's balance. It's balanced out. But, you know, next time somebody compliments you, and think about that, think about, do you just sometimes say thank you? Because, you know, I get the whole, like, moving, shifting from, you know, the ego to the spiritual aspect. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's just like receiving and giving. We're always going to have takers.
Yes.
And we're always going to have the doers, you know, the ones who are, you know, doing instead of being, which we fall into that category sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's finding that balance of truly believing in yourself, truly, you know, again, that has balance too, because, you know, I'm sure we all can say we've met someone or know someone who's all up into themselves, right? But, you know, or whatever, you know. But it could also be the perspective of which we were raised to understand that way. Like you said, trained to be modest. Mm-hmm. Like, we can only be so good.
Yes.
We can't be that good.
Right.
You know. And that's the balance. But, you know, when somebody offers you a compliment, especially if you're constantly pushing them away, just say thank you. And then go ahead and change the subject right away.
Exactly.
Like, just be like, oh, yeah, that's nice. So what are you having for dinner?
Yeah. Normalize it. Right. And,
yeah.
And I think the point, because, you know, I always go, you know, 16 times around the track before I get to the point. from my perspective, in a lot of ways, is, you know, if this comes from a place of unworthiness, or if this comes from a place of just your training and not knowing how to deal with that, you know, that does create an imbalance, not just for you, but it creates it for all of us. Who are you not to be? I'm going right into Merriam Williamson. Are you not to be the best, incredible? Who are you not to be the best version of yourself? Because that's what you were put down here to do. And also, if I make something for Stacy and I give that to you, and you're like, oh my God, thank you. And then you repay me with something that is massive in return, then I kind of feel a little bad or a little inadequate, you know, and then it just becomes a whole thing. It keeps going.
You know, that's a really great point. You're absolutely right. Are you trying to constantly one up? Like, are you open to receiving, or are you open to what would that word be? Let's think of it, because it's not really, it's taking, but then paying back.
Right.
Maybe you become a taker instead of a receiver by doing exactly what you just said, because that,
So, you know, sometimes the gift you can give in return is just being in gratitude for receiving.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It kind of goes along the lines of what's the saying that I always hear? 95% of the people don't want your advice; they just want you to listen. Right? They're not really looking for you to solve their problems or to fix them or to fix the situation, but just listen. You know, and that's a form of receiving too. Is, you know, completely listening without without trying to put your opinion into it, maybe.
Yeah. Active listening is instead of listening for a response. Yeah. And that's partially how we can hold space for people, which is really, really, really important.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that gets me to the point of the giving aspect is we have to shift our thinking into giving the material things.
Right.
We need to shift our giving, especially during the holiday, and it's hard not to, right?
Yeah.
All the holiday seasons have turned into what? Nothing but a gift fest, isn't it? Like
processed sugar and gifting, and sometimes gifting processed sugar.
But to just give, you know, just to give of, you know, of yourself, a little bit of your energy, like you were just saying, holding space, giving energy, holding space for a person, not necessarily tolerating or accepting their behavior, but allowing them to be them in that space in which we're in at this point, you know. And then, wow, that's kind of, now my mind. See, Celeste, you've got the wheels turning now.
I'm ready to go on the
philosophy tour bus now and just kind of start driving along from law to law.
I kind of what happened was I saw a firework go off, right? And it was like, and from that burst of color came five different natural laws that she wanted to touch on. So,
It is fabulous.
Love it.
But, you know, you just have to, and that's what I say too, like, you know, go ahead and keep giving. I am all about being a giver. I mean, I think that's great, you know, and don't give to expect something in return too.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And well, isn't that kind of the point of in natural law, if you're following these things and you're building yourself up, you can get to the point where you can you're doing things and you're in balance and because if you are doing something because you expect something, that is not, it's not a bad thing per se, because it helps train you in the right direction, but it's also not going to win you any. There's no awards to be given out on that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many different. You know, and this is the thing too. And this goes into judgment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, again, the way you give might not be the way that I give. And I'll share a story that happened. It was kind of funny. I was sitting in a room and this loud music comes on and it's Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas.
Of course it is. Because it's the holidays.
And I look out the window and there's all these people in this lawn. And I am like, what are they doing? And it's just weird. Like, it was just so random, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is going on? And this music's playing and there's lights and there's, you know, then there's a cop car and the cop car has this van that has all these Christmas lights all over it, pulled over. And I'm like, so I have to get my shoes on. I have to go downstairs. I need to investigate, you know,
yes.
I need to know what's going on. And all of these people are dressed as either elves or reindeer, except for the cop, right? Because he's a policeman.
Right.
And he's reporting. Some gentleman took $50,000 and bought hundreds of two-story inflatable Santas, snowmans, whatever, inflatable things, paid these people to go out and randomly put them up in front of people's yards to bring and to spread joy and happiness this holiday season. I thought it was the best thing ever. I was laughing. By the time it was all said and done, here is this two-story tall Frosty the Snowman, right? Like, just blown up with this, like, you know, moving and happy. You couldn't help but look and laugh at it. Yeah. And I remember having, so I was just thrilled. I thought, well, what a different way to give.
Spreading joy.
What a different way to spread joy, to give, you know, happiness during this time and hopefully brighten someone's day. You know, I thought, well, then I started having this conversation with somebody else and I was telling them about the story and they said, yeah, but what, he should have gave that money to the food bank. And I said, well, who's to say he didn't?
Right. Yeah.
And who's to say that the one house that they went to and put that snowman up, said, well, I don't need this. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to give it to the family down the road who can't afford it. You know,
right.
Sometimes what we assume would be a reaction to a gift giving is not necessarily that reaction.
Right.
So we have to just give from a place within the heart and not worry about.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And here's the thing. So if you're one of these people who are receiving something from a gift from the heart and you deny that.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yeah. If somebody makes you a scarf, which takes hours and is well beyond my talents. Thank you very much. I could manage a potholder. That is all.
Remember when we were kids and we could make those ones with the weaving?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sorry,
no,
I digress.
No, that was great.
I get to that. That
so illustrates the point so beautifully. Because when a kid brings you a present, and it's not necessarily something that you're like, oh, I didn't realize we were that close. Well, we could keep going on Facebook. We'll let the blog talk run out. But for those of you listening on Blog Talk, please do check out the other Lilydale Blog Talk radio channels. We have Embracing Your Essence on Tuesdays, Wednesdays with Willa on Wednesday, and Wednesday evening Journey into the Light with John White, and Mondays, Medium Mondays at noon. And go to lilydaleassembly.org and check out the off-season classes. If you want to take my development circle, you can join one or you can take all of them. And that's on my website, celesteelliott.com. And that's all the promos I need to get in. So we're good there.
Well, and thank you for joining us on Blog Radio.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we don't have to worry about that. We'll let it expire. But... So
all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, random talk.
Yeah, that went very, very, very fast.